Friends, thank you for joining us this week. We are making ourselves ready to do a meditation in the Our Father prayer, and that is going to be the scope of our effort today in this Gnostic lab for practical application. You know, and this is one of those exercises that Master Samael recommends that we do, because typically when we are reciting the Our Father prayer, we tend to do that at times in which we are afraid. Sometimes we do it as a means to create some kind of defense. And this has been common on many people who have awakened up at night after having a nightmare, and they find comfort in this powerful prayer. However, the Our Father prayer is not just something that we can recite whenever we are fearful or whenever we just feel that we need some additional help. And perhaps we say help because many of the times that this prayer is recited by many, it is because there is also, of course, an underlying fear. There is an underlying fear of getting bad grades, of getting caught after doing something that perhaps should have not been done. It is recited based on the fear of loss because somebody may be sick. It is recited perhaps because somebody told you that you need to recite 5 or 10 of them so that you can be absolved and washed from your sins. So we need to step beyond these fear conditions, and we need to start looking at the Our Father prayer as for what it truly is. And it is because the Our Father prayer is indeed an exercise in superior magic. This is a prayer that is transformative, and it involves 7 petitions to the innermost. We call this, and we tell this, that this is an act of superior magic. And we say magic because it is a prayer, a series of petitions that are made seeking to influence events. This is the meaning of magic. Magic is a specific set of actions that generate an influence of events because of a supernatural force. That is what is the true definition of magic. So when it comes to the Our Father prayer, it is an act of magic because it influences events. But the events that it influences are not just random events. They are not just external events. These are events that have to do with our consciousness. So let's put this together. It is an exercise in superior magic. And it is superior because it calls for the intervention of the innermost. It does that influencing of events via the intervention of the innermost, of our internal, individual, and particular God who is in secret. So an exercise in superior magic, we are asking of 7 petitions to our innermost, and it is through His intervention that we can find influence, change, modification in our own internal work of our consciousness. Now, 7 petitions, that should not be discarded as coincidence. They are 7 petitions because the 7 comes to us as part of the law of the Epta Para Parshinok. Remember that law, the law of the cosmic holy 7? This is the law that brings order into everything in creation. This is a cosmic law that brings organization into creation. And in this case, the Our Father prayer brings organization within the microcosmic man in the process of internal transformation. So now you can see what we mean when we say an exercise in superior magic. We are invoking of our innermost so that He can create the necessary influence within us. and that that influence is meant to cause, generate, have the effect of an organization within each and every one of us, individually and particularly, as a microcosmos in this process of the work of the revolution of the consciousness. So what happens with this? When we start reading the Our Father prayer, it starts with an invocation to the innermost, and it says, Our Father who art in heaven. Our Father. We say Our Father because individually we are a legion, because individually we are populated by hundreds, thousands of psychological aggregates. And the essence, the psyche, that is that pure divine material that exists within each and every one of us, that thing within us that is truly divine, that material that we are given so that we can indeed crystallize a soul. We are invoking the Father from every fraction of our consciousness that is split and divided into each of these psychological aggregates. With this invocation, we are calling into our being, and we are making an effort to make ourselves a fine and delicate instrument at its service. So whenever we're praying the Our Father prayer, if we are reciting it in 15, 20 seconds, mechanically, it is of no use. If we are kneeling in a pulpit, and we are repeating the Our Father prayer 5 or 10 times for the sake of our sins being washed away, but everything that we're doing is mechanical, then it doesn't work. If we are reciting the Our prayer because we are afraid, and we are just repeating with our silent voice all of these 7 petitions every time invoking our innermost for this help, but we're not even conscious of what we're saying, then it is of no use. Samael tells us, a good Our Father, when you pray it, it can take you an hour. And friends, that is what we're going to do today. We must reflect on every phrase. We must reflect on the true content, on every statement, on all of these words, so that we can get a feel for what is it that we're asking. Now, we can only offer so much in this exercise, and we will do our very best to give you an indication on at least where to start. We will do our best effort to give you the best direction possible, so that as you are meditating in each one of these petitions, that its true meaning becomes revealed to you, so that everything that you say, that you can grab the true meaning of that context based on your level of morality, based on your level of being, and that every time that you do this, that you can uncover perhaps more profound and deeper truth to each one of these statements. So let's go ahead and let's start by relaxing our physicality. As any other exercise in meditation, we always want to be relaxed. And the reason we would like to see our intellect, our emotions, and our physicality in perfect harmony, calm and serene, it is because it is under those circumstances that we can truly listen. It is under those conditions that we can actually receive and listen to the voice of the silence. So let's start by closing our eyes. And as we close our eyes, let's take a deep breath in 1, 2, 1. let's bring our attention into the many different sensations that we may be experiencing in our body. Those of you who have been following our Gnostic Labs for practical application, by now you know that you must be sitting comfortably. And as you sit comfortably, your feet are flat on the floor. Your spine is erect. Your hands are comfortably on your thighs. Some others of you may be resting on your back, in the corpse's posture, with your heels touching together, your feet relaxed, spread apart like a fan, and your arms comfortably relaxed along the sides of your body. And perhaps some of you are in the posture of the five-pointed star, which is very meaningful. That flaming star is a symbol before which the columns of tenebrous ones flee terrified. So as you're resting on your back, whether in the corpse's posture, or in the posture of the flaming star, or whether you are sitting comfortably on a chair, we continue to make this exercise of relaxation and we focus in all the sensations that we have in our body. And we continue breathing comfortably. Making a deliberate effort. Being intentful. To bring in relaxation from the tips of our toes. Extending that relaxation into our ankles, bringing that relaxation into our calves and up to our knees, we continue breathing without making any strainful effort. But as we continue to breathe and exhale, with every exhalation, we deliberately let go of any stress, of any worries, of anything that has us preoccupied. And we bring that relaxation into our thighs, because it is in our thighs that we have our femoral arteries. And the significant flow of blood that travels within these channels allows for the magnetization and the energization of our creative power as it carries those flows of energies that come from below and marry them with those other cosmic energies that come from above. We continue with our relaxation exercise, and as we continue to breathe in and exhale, we allow that relaxation to reach our sexual creative organs, our buttocks, and the muscles in our abdomen. And we can feel how our abdomen expands and contracts with every breath that we take. We can start feeling that sense of relaxation inundating our bottom extremities. And even though we feel it, we do not identify with it. But we continue to breathe calmly. And with every exhalation, we deliberately put aside all of our worries, all of our preoccupations, and we continue bringing relaxation into our internal organs. And we can use our objective imagination to see how with every breath every inhalation carries that force of life that is called prana. And how that prana flows through our body. And seeing how it gets delivered into each and every one of these internal organs. So as we breathe, we see this breath of life reaching our lungs, penetrating our blood, and reaching the four distinct cavities of our hearts. And as that breath of life becomes distributed, we can see how it inundates organs like our liver, our pancreas, our stomach, our intestines, because these organs, they make up as these organs make part of our enteric system, which is our emotional brain. That divine force that exists within the breath of life helps bring harmony into their transactions. as we continue to breathe. We bring that relaxation into our shoulders, our arms, our elbows, wrists, hands, fingers. We deliberately relax the muscles in our jaw. Our tongue and our lips, our cheeks, we relax our eyes, eliminate any stress from our eyelids, we relax that frown that we have been carrying for so long. And we allow that relaxation to reach the crown of our head. And as we continue to breathe, we objectively see the use of our objective imagination, our faculty of clairvoyance. To see that breath of life flowing through our physical organism. And with every relaxation, with every exhalation, we allow our body to sink onto the chair, to sink onto the mattress, to sink onto the carpet. And we start with our invocation. Our Father, who art in heaven, this is our innermost. Who art in heaven, in a superior plane of consciousness. In a realm of nature, beyond our emotions, beyond our mind. Hallowed be thy name. As we say hallowed, we are praising our Divine Father. But we are praising the name of our Divine Father because the name of our individual and particular innermost is known only to those to which their individual and particular innermost chooses to reveal it. So we are saying, hallowed be thy name, as in, your name is veiled from us yet. Your name is covered, concealed. It is saved from us. And in this way, we are asking to make enough progress in our internal work so that one day His name can be revealed to us, so that our consciousness at some point will reach the necessary development for the experience of the innermost to become manifest, so that we could experience the greatness of the illuminating void, where there is no you and there is no me, where there is no self-identification with our fears or our desires, where the mere consideration of self dissipates and disappears, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. We are asking for the experience of the innermost itself, we are asking for the opportunity of our consciousness to experience the innermost, but we are also asking for an opportunity to experience the realm of the innermost here on earth. We are seeking for the opportunity to break away from these binds that keep us trapped in this constant sorrow, enjoying mere instants of joy and happiness, going back to our worries and our suffering. And we are seeking to experience heaven on earth. How can we do that? Well, it starts very simply by understanding the difference between our needs and our greed. It starts very simply when we develop the ability to learn how to listen. That experience of heaven on earth starts with our ability to transform the impressions that we receive. It starts by us finding our vocation, so that every moment of work that we dedicate, that it is not just a job, but that it becomes effort and action moved by the longing of the innermost itself. Always in a disposition and always in an offering to serve others. These are some of the things that we can do here and now to experience that heaven on earth. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The true source of happiness exists within that compliance with the great law. Whenever we complain about our suffering, whenever we complain about our circumstances in life, whether those are financial, or whether those are related to matters of love and family, that is an indication that we are still not comprehending that all these things that happen to us are a consequence of our own actions. That everything that happens to us, it is just the effect of previous causes, of previous decisions. Because every effect at the same time becomes a cause to many new other effects. And the effects that we create are always greater than their own causes. So for as long as we continue calling the shots, thinking that we are in control, thinking that we are self-sufficient, thinking that we are good people, honest, chaste, honorable, for as long as we keep thinking that our integrity is impeccable because we don't steal, because we don't lie, because we don't covet, for as long as we continue to think that we can create new conditions for ourselves, just like that. We will continue doing our own will. We will continue making our own decisions. For as long as we keep thinking in those ways, we will continue to intervene in the matters of the great law. We will continue to think that we have some sort of power that we can use to declare the healing of others, that we can use to declare the betterment of the conditions of others and in our own selves, just like that, without even realizing that when we see things, we don't see the thing itself, but the appearance of things. And because that perception has led to the incorrect concepts of the things themselves, our judgments are incorrect. And within our incorrect judgment, we could find ourselves making use of our creative power to declare healing on someone who is experiencing the consequences of their own actions, of someone who is experiencing their own karma. And we could be creating an intervention on that. We could be creating interference in that. And that would imply that based on our own desires, based on our own sense of self-sufficiency, based on this false idea that we are so capable and so superior, we could certainly be doing more harm than good. So let it not be our will, but the will of our innermost. And let that will be done here on earth, not just on the planet earth, but within our own bodies, because our bodies are the philosophical earth. So allow your will to manifest through our philosophical earth, through these bodies of substance, just as your will manifests in those superior planes of consciousness. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Beyond the physical nourishment that our bodies need, besides the food that we eat, this also has to do with allowing us to continue receiving every breath that we can consume. Because in every breath that we take, there is the breath of life. There is that cosmic force that is known in the ancient traditions as prana. And beyond the food that we can chew and consume, the air that we breathe is a second source of nourishment. Because when our bodies are calm and relaxed, this breath of life, this prana, this cosmic manifestation of the force of the Christ, then permeates every organ, every tissue, every cell. They reach every molecule and every atom within our own body. This prana nourishes that inherent intelligence that exists within our own body of substance. Not only the intelligence that exists within the sympathetic nervous system, the one that has to do with fighting and fleeing, but also the intelligence that exists within our parasympathetic nervous system, the one associated with resting and digesting. So these breaths, they're certainly not meant to be abused of. Just like we are not meant to abuse of the food that we eat. This is in part why we see the lamas and many practitioners of the Buddhist tradition count every breath that they take using a collar of beads that carries 108 beats. Every breath that we consume brings us that breath of life and that energy. And it is up to us to surrender to our innermost will so that we can put that energy to use in ways that are constructive, edifying, and essentially dignifying. But our daily bread even includes further than that. Because this prayer is one seeking for internal transformation. And that means that besides the food that we can consume and the breath of life that permeates every single particle of our body, we have a third source of nourishment, and those are the impressions that we receive. So when we're invoking our innermost and we're asking, we're saying, you who keep your name veiled from us, you whose name is safeguarded and protected, allow us to experience your kingdom here on earth. Let it be your will here within our body of substance, just as it is in the superior planes of consciousness. And so that we can learn to live this life. Give us the sustenance that we need for our own substance. the sustenance that we need with your infusion of life and give us the necessary impressions so that we can educate our mind. We are asking for our innermost to give us those impressions. We are asking our innermost to give us those moments that allow us to discover our own selves. We are asking our innermost for opportunities to see the cruelty of our own inhumanity. And we only see those through our interactions with others. We can only see those in the difficult moments that we can live any given time. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive our trespasses, just as we forgive those who trespass against us. Or as it has been written by the Apostle Matthew, forgive our debts, as we forgive our debtors. This is certainly of us asking to live life in ways that are essentially dignifying, where our actions in that third factor of the revolution of the consciousness are so meaningful and so powerful that we can effectively fight the lion of the law with the scale. This is of us asking for help in living a life, serving others in such a way that through our actions we can pay off our karma. So it is saying forgive our debts, but it is also saying as we forgive our debtors, as we forgive the others who we feel have a debt with us, so in this petition, what we are asking is not only for mercy towards ourselves, but asking for the help and the guidance of our innermost, so that we can be merciful to others. But for as long as we keep thinking that we are strong, that we are powerful and self-sufficient, that we are in control, the forgiving of our debtors is not going to happen. Because within our own ignorance, we may find ourselves forgiving others just because of the fear of us not being forgiven our own selves. And this is why Samael tells us, forgiveness happens through elimination. If we do not work with the elimination of our psychological aggregates. And those defects are still there. Then there is no forgiving. Because as people do the things that they do, and we continue feeling that the situation has been unfair to us, there will always be resentment. And if there is resentment, there is no forgiveness. So what we're asking is that we can learn to live meaningful lives in such a way that as we eliminate all of these psychological defects that keep us bound to all of this suffering, that our actions then express the necessary love in terms of forgiveness, so that others can also be free from their suffering. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, this is a petition that we make many times without truly understanding what it really means. Lead us not into temptation is asking of our innermost to accompany us, to show us the way, to lead the way, so that we do not fall into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. As we ask for our daily bread, and those impressions come to us, many of those impressions will be temptations. And many of them will be temptations in greed. Many of them will be temptations that will trigger envy. Many of them are temptations in anger. Many others will be temptations in lust, temptations in laziness and sloth, temptations associated to pride, self-love, and self-consideration. Temptations related to gluttony, whether it is intellectual gluttony, whether it is emotional gluttony, or whether it is physical gluttony. So we are saying, Divine Father, who exists high within the realms of superior consciousness, your name is veiled, secured, and safeguarded from us. We ask of you to experience heaven on earth, that while here, within this plane of substance, that your will be done within our bodies and within our interactions. We ask for your sustenance, the physical sustenance, your breath of life, and the impressions that you give us. Help us in the elimination of our psychological aggregates so that we may truly express forgiveness. And because it is your will, and because we are seeking for the experience of heaven on earth, and because you are nourishing us with impressions. Lead the way. Accompany us, so that we do not succumb before these perceptions, before these impressions. Lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from evil. This means save us, rescue us, liberate us, set us free from evil. But what evil? Because this is not save us from an external evil. This is not rescue us from an external evil, from thieves or murderers, or from rapists, or from bad politicians, or the gossipy neighbor. This is not that. This is rescue us, set us free, liberate us from our own badness. This is save us from our own cruelty. This means liberate us from our own unskillfulness. Our unskillfulness in the use of our words. Our unskillfulness in the arrangement of our thoughts. Our unskillfulness in our own emotions. This is saying, rescue us because we are defective. Because our consciousness is fragmented into so many different bottles. This is saying, set us free. The voice of our consciousness says this, set us free because now we are being harmful. We are being harmful to ourselves. Harmful to our spouse, our wife, our husband. We're being harmful to our children, to our parents. We're being harmful to our people at work, to the people in our neighborhood, in our community. We're being harmful to the land that nourishes us. Harmful to the water that quenches our thirst. Harmful to the air that we breathe. This is saying, liberate us because today we are vicious. We are vicious in attacks to our brothers and our sisters, to our neighbor. We are vicious with our thoughts. We are vicious with our emotions. We are vicious even in our means of entertainment. Deliver us from evil means rescue us because we are ill. It means set us free because we are wicked. It means liberate us because today we are certainly impure. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, just as we forgive those who are in debt with us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Dear friends, thank you for joining us this evening. And may all beings be happy.